Good morning and welcome to the FTS bet slip for Tuesday the 2nd of April. Right, a few bits to go through. I apologise, this is late. I did genuinely, you always think of Aintree as the Grand National being on Saturday, and I'd forgotten all about it actually starting Thursday, Friday, and we've got to get a trends PDF and things set up for you. So I've been on that this morning, which put me back a little bit. I've obviously updated all the football for members for midweek, so that the Aintree PDF, I will send a link tomorrow, which you will have to enter your details. Instantly on entering them, you will get sent to a page to download the trends PDF covering all of Aintree. You will receive an email to verify your email address. If you do not verify, you will not get the daily updates. We will send out an email every morning with the trends qualifiers. But if you haven't verified, then you won't get that. I am not at home at all tomorrow, so once I've sent that out, I'm not going to be able to answer any queries. I've got a 60th birthday due to attend to, and then I'm hoping I can get away from that and get up to see the opening of a certain new stadium where 11 bits of garbage will run around for a while and Townsend will score a screamer for the 0-1. So I literally will be sending stuff out in the morning, and that will be it. That's why I'm all a bit rushed today, so apologies for that. Right, let's get on to football for today. Team I like at the price are Watford home to Fulham. Watford 1.77. If you can back them at anything above 1.72 today, then I cannot put you off that. Fulham obviously in dire straits, and that's being factored into the price. I think that I think they can be relegated if they get beat tonight. Watford, other than against the top six, they've done well against the top six, to be fair, beat Spurs. They are pretty solid, and my numbers, if you can back them at over 1.7, then they're a good bet. As I mentioned, I've got one also in the Scottish Premiership, which is Livingston versus Hamilton. Livingston are 1.81. Again, if you can get them sort of above 1.72, then they are good value. I can't see that price shortening much now. It's 181, 186. It may even move out a few ticks, so wait until a bit longer. Just keep an eye on it, and nearer kickoff, it might be better. I did have Rangers as slight value, but given what happened at the weekend with Morelos and the way that is at the minute, obviously I don't think he can play. So that's one that at 1.54 I'm swerving. I'm not interested in that. Obviously the flat racing is going to get going after Aintree, and I'll go back to horse trades then once we've got a little bit of form there to settle down. You know, it's a very shady program in between the festival and Aintree. Not my favourite time of year. I'll just let that pass and we'll get into the flat. And obviously with the clocks going at the weekend, it'll all come thick and fast for us. And there'll be trades nearly every day. I've got a couple of football trades. Again, just bear with me. That Watford-Fulham game is one. If it is 0-0 after 20 minutes, then I will drip back the over 1.5 over the next sort of 15, 20 minutes of that one. So in Watford-Fulham, if it is 0-0 after 20 minutes, I will drip back it. I had a couple of questions, and I've had a few over the time, about the 3.5 trades, what to do, when to get out. It's about not being greedy. Obviously, I'm giving you a snapshot of a couple of trades I have off many potential trades per day. So, you know, I can't sit here and list out loads of trades, and it wouldn't do you any good either because you'd be involved in far too much. But with things like that, if you're in that 3.5, you know, I think it was, 40 minutes last night? There was plenty of time to take profit. Those 3.5s will win. They'll win to level state if you want to just let them run, but obviously you'll have the ups and downs, you'll have the swings. You know, that game did end up having 4 goals. If you want to do that, then you're more than welcome to, but you've got to accept that it'll have the swings and leave it. Otherwise, then you've got to take your little snippets of profit, the 25-30% when they're available. Being greedy is like the trader's graveyard, trying to sit there and wait another 5 minutes or another 5 minutes. You know, obviously the goals go in and then you're in trouble. Right, and my second trade, I'm going back to Poland. I'll just get some prices up. current prices from when I looked earlier. It is in the 5 o'clock kickoff between Slask Rocklaw and Mietz Legnica. Right, in this one, I am going to wait again till about 30 minutes. If it's 0-0, I'm then going to lay under 0.5 first half goals from sort of 30 minutes through to 40 minutes. So if it's 0-0 on 30, I will lay under 0.5 goals from 30 minutes through to 40. If it still gets to half time at 0-0, I will then move to the 1.5 market and back over 1.5 at 45. Still 0 at 65, I'll back over 1.5 at 65. And trade it from there. So that is Slask Rocklaw versus Mietz Legnica in the Polish Ekstraklasa, kicking off at 5 o'clock. So you've got the Watford game and that game for the trades, and Watford and Livingston as the mentions. Entry PDF will be out in the morning. A couple of things to go over now. I mean, Tottenham are just a shambles, and looking at the betting for the top four, you know, I've said it pretty much all through the season. I think the price has always been too short, and 1.68 is still too short. They've got Man City away. You know, you can be as hopeful as you like, but they're currently showing relegation form. You can't go to Man City and expect to Tottenham to get anything. So that'll be 3 points they miss out on. For my mind, yes, Chelsea have got to go to Liverpool, and Man United have got to play City at home. But other than that, you know, they've all got fairly easy fixtures. Tottenham have got to play West Ham, who always turn up and would love to spoil our season. Everton is not a shoo-in. And, you know, a lot seems to be made on moving into this new stadium. If they get beat tomorrow, then that will soon evaporate. I'm not sure that moving into a new stadium has ever been a massive advantage for anybody, let alone doing it mid-season. Yeah, I think it might be great for the fans initially, but that novelty will soon disappear. And I think it's a tough opener tomorrow. Palace are not a side, you know, that are going to roll over. Tough to break down. Exactly the sort of team that Tottenham struggle against. So for me, 1.68 is way too short for the top four. I genuinely don't think they'll get top four. I think Arsenal will finish third, and probably Man United will get the fourth spot, with Tottenham and Chelsea battling out fifth and sixth. You know, and people will just say, that's your Tottenham. I'll just look at the fixtures and the form they're in. You know, they've lost to Burnley, lost to Southampton. Yeah, they played okay second half against Liverpool, but they could have been out of sight Liverpool in the first half. Arsenal, you know, missed a penalty in the last minute against them. It's by far would I not have Tottenham in that position in the betting. So if anybody's interested in tying their money up for a few weeks, obviously if they do win tomorrow, they'll shorten further, and I still wouldn't put you off. I think that City game will be the one where, you know, the wheels start to come, and that week where we've got Champions League, you know, I think the atmosphere at Tottenham is on a knife edge, and there's a lot of disgruntled fans, particularly having given up a 10-12 point lead. So I don't want to go on about them, but you know, it's what you pay for not improving the team at all. You've stood still while everybody else is improving around you. This is inevitably what's going to happen when you're asking the same core of players to play a monumental number of games. You've got players coming to the end of their contracts who are going to be going elsewhere without a doubt. I think Eriksen already looks like he's playing for somebody else. Alderweireld, you know, he's going to go. So I can't put you off that. I wish it was different, but there you go. And then I've got to tackle this one. Last week we held a poll, or I held a poll on Twitter. And it came about as, you know, I like watching a bit of the golf, particularly the majors. And I talked to Suggsy, and he's getting all excited about the Masters. And I sort of told him, well, if you're anything about golf, and I appreciate he might not know much, but the Open Championship is the tournament. And it's not the British Open for our foreign listeners. It is the Open Championship. And he was on about the Masters and how brilliant it is and his best weekend of the year. And then I was talking to Steve, the soccer stado, and he said, oh, I can't wait for the Masters, love the Masters. And I said, well, yeah, the Open's better. And he went, no, the Masters. And I thought, what is going on here? So we had the old poll, and unfortunately, for you, not for me, because I live in this world where if you don't get the result of your poll, then you keep going and manipulate it till you do. But we had that poll, and I think it was 49% of you voted for the Masters being the best golf tournament of the year. Yeah, we put four options up: the Masters, Open Championship, US Open and Sawgrass. 49% of you chose the US Masters, 40% chose the Open, 9% the US Open, and 2% Sawgrass. So if we take the 11% from the US Open and Sawgrass, they would probably, if I had only put two options up, they'd have probably all voted for the Open anyway. So that makes the Open 51%, US Masters 49%. That's a bit more like it. I'll tell you why the Masters isn't, and it is really simple. There's a few factors, and you can all take this on board, the 49% of you, and if it means we lose a few, then fair enough, but I'm the man with the mic. Firstly, it's a fucking club championship. That's what it is. It's not organised by anybody except for a golf club. Men in green blazers who make up what they want, invite what they want, make up the rules like they want. That's why Tiger Woods could drop it wherever he liked. It's why Ernie Els, when he had it in the woods and was told by the PGA Tour official that he couldn't have a drop from some loose cuttings that had been dumped there about 50 yards in the woods, so he got one of the members wearing his green jacket and asked him, and he said, no, you can. I mean, it's an absolute nonsense of a setup, that is. You know, they invite who they like, and with greatest respect to the legends, you've got people about 80 years of age waddling round, flipping, hitting it, getting it in the way. And I see why you like it, because you look out your windows. I'm looking out today out of my office. It's all a bit grey and dank. The leaves on the trees aren't there. You see a few azaleas, a few rhododendrons, a bit of sunshine, and you get all excited because you haven't seen it for 6 months. That's all it is. It's played on the same course every year. You know, it's horses for courses. Same people turn up and do okay. And then you've got the proper golfers who, you know, the people who can work the ball, the Trevinos and Montgomerys, they just set it up against them. You know, another factor with the golf, it's you don't have the drama in the Masters you used to have. You know, you go back to the days of Norman when he got beat by Faldo, or Curtis Strange. You know, Curtis Strange, when he lost it, they're hitting fairway woods into the par fives when it was proper golf. You were hitting, you know, Curtis Strange stood there deciding whether to go the green on 13 and 15 with fairway woods hitting it in the water. Now they're going in with 8 irons, 9 irons, because the ball and the equipment go so far. It's nothing like the spectacle it was when you used to say, oh, it starts on a, you know, back nine on a Sunday. That doesn't happen anymore. We had McIlroy, what, 8 years ago, had a bit of a collapse, and Spieth had a bit of a collapse. But other than that, it's just plodding along. It's nothing like the excitement that it used to be when you had those, you know, Scott Hock getting beat, Faldo beating Norman, Strange knocking it in the water, Ballesteros, all those sort of players, when it was a proper golf course with a proper length, not the club championship set up it is now. So yeah, it's a club championship, you know, limited field, run by the Blazers. Golf course is very pretty. I know people who've been and played the golf course. They say it's not that great. Wide fairways, boom it down there. You know, yeah, the greens are a little bit tricky now and then. But the Open, different golf course every year, different elements every year. That's where the proper golfers want to be. It's where the proper golfers want to lift the trophy. It's where you get the tiers. It's just different class. It's completely and utterly different class, the Open Championship. And it is a shame that 49% of you can't see it. But as I say, I get it. You know, it's the colours. Oh, a little bit of rhododendrons. Look at the fucking azaleas. Lovely jubbly. You know, but now you've listened to the old FTS version, I'm sure you'll all come round. And if we hold the poll next year, then the Open wins comfortably. Apologies if anybody's offended, but that is just the way it is. So in effect, we'll add the US Open and the Sawgrass to the Open. 51% for the Open, 49% for the US Masters. 49% of you need to have a good look at yourself. Yes, it may be a little bit of nice watching on TV, but we're talking about a proper golf tournament in the Open Championship. And you'll see that in July when it's over in Ireland. You watch the Irish come out and show you what it's all about. Right, so that's that one put to bed. Don't need to do that anymore. So, Suggsy and Steve, once again, you were wrong. What other business is there? I'm sure I had a couple of other things, but I've got myself all confused today. We've done the football. Aintree's tomorrow. We've done the Tottenham top four. Done the golf. Right, well, that's it then. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be up early and getting that done. I don't know whether I'll have any golf or anything tomorrow. I'll have a look at everything tomorrow morning, any football mentions. And obviously look out for that email, read the Aintree PDF. I'll get that out as quickly as I can. And heed what I say about the golf and about the Masters. And I'll be back in the morning.